If you're looking for normal and what is usual, status quo, you won't find that in the kingdom.
Ooh,
it cannot be found in the kingdom, right?
That's good.
Well, Doc, here we are with another exciting episode of American Christian.
Man, are we ever. This is really going to be a good one today, Pete.
Yeah, I was actually just kind of surprised. It was late last night when you had texted me the title to this episode, which is, What Can One Man Do? Boy, if that doesn't open up.
What can one man do?
Well, a lot.
I'm just one guy.
I know.
I'm just a guy living here in Rush City, Minnesota.
Right.
You know, I know I got this ministry, and I got, you know.
I got an 8-to-5.
I got you. I got, I mean, you know, but I'm just a guy, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think that we think not very highly of ourselves in our identity,
true.
Right? Because these guys back in the days of Judges, they're being singled out. Today, in the New Testament, we are a bride, a church. Mm-hmm. We are together. We are supposed to be working together, but I don't know if that's always happening either.
Yeah, but what about this part of inspired scripture? What if it's still true?
Oh, I think it's still true.
God wants to take a man. He wants to take a woman. I mean, look how many times we've seen it already. We've seen Deborah. We've seen JL, the tent peg lady.
Wow. I mean, wow. What can one woman do?
What can one woman
do? With a tent peg.
Put it through Sisera's head.
Man.
And your guys, you know, you got your Gideon, you got your Jephthah, all these guys.
What about those 300 guys?
Oh.
Each one of them thinking, I'm just one guy.
So
out of 30,000.
Listener, here's where we're going with this today. We are going to challenge you to be that man, to be that woman, because God has a plan. We got to discover his plan and flow in it.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so
all right.
Chapter 15.
Yeah, verse 1. So after a while in the time of wheat harvest, it happened that Samson visited his wife with a young goat. Now remember, this is his wife, quote unquote, okay? He tried to marry her, and he got into the big rumble with the dudes, and they wound up, he had to give them 30 changes of garments, so he goes out and kills 30 guys, takes their clothes. All right, here you go.
A little offering to y'all.
Yeah. So, but then his wife is given to the best man.
I think
that's kind of a strange ending to that deal.
Well, that's a harsh thing for a man to accept, don't
you
think?
Well, I know. Yeah, right.
Like, I thought you were my friend. Right. What are you doing siding with these guys?
Well, you know, I really like her.
Well, they're oppressing us.
She's really a fox.
I really kind of liked her.
Come on, man.
What's going on here?
So he visits his wife with a young goat. That's apparently to offer the goat. And he said, let me go into my wife, into her room. But her father would not permit him to go in. Oh, I guess we can assume that would be to consummate the marriage.
I think when he says, let me go into.
Right.
Yeah.
Her father said, I really thought that you thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your companion, the best man. Is not her younger sister better than she? Please take her instead. No, if Samson had done that, you know, the story would have been very different, I'm sure.
Right.
But he's not settling for the younger sister.
No, he's not.
And Samson said to them, this time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistines if I harm them. And you kind of see that all through this story of Samson. Samson kind of becomes careful that they do something bad first rather than him just going in and starting blowing away people.
Right, you know? Which we'll kind of see later.
Right.
But he does. That's a good point. How cautious are you when trouble comes? Do you, man, Doc, I don't even want to get sidetracked, but when you get a chance, read chapter 20 of Deuteronomy, verse 1, about battle and about courage. Somehow, Samson is trained up, right, by Manoah and his wife on the things of the Lord. Remember, there's these first five books that this is how they train their young men. That's, I mean, right. He was a Nazirite. It wasn't just about not eating something, but it was being trained up in a way to go.
And he was in all the other normal stuff of being an Israelite boy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point.
So, Samson went. Now, I mean, this had to be supernatural enablement here. Catching 300 foxes.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
have you ever hunted foxes?
No.
Dude,
they're really skittish.
They are smart.
And they're smart.
Oh, my word.
Well, you have the big fox hunting out in England, you know.
Right.
That's a big
with the
deal.
Hounds and the hounds. Horses.
That's just to get one.
I mean, me, I just use a 223. But you don't just walk out there and say, here, fox, you know, I want to shoot you.
Right.
I mean, those things are intelligent. And but he's got 300 of them. He takes torches and turns the fox's tail to tail and put a torch between each pair of tails.
Mm.
Now, this is the retaliation for him not being allowed to have his wife.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay. And when he had set the torches on fire, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines and burned up both the shocks and standing grain as well as the vineyards and olive groves. Then the Philistines said, who has done this? And they said, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite.
Right.
Now, they think he's the son-in-law, but
the
dad isn't letting him have his daughter for his wife.
Right.
I mean, this is bizarre. And Samson's not happy about it.
Hey, what do you think about the standing grain of the Philistines? Like, I think the Philistines took all this from Israel. I mean, this is really the work that Israel's doing, isn't it? I mean,
they did that too, but they grew their own too.
Well,
is right before harvest.
Now you got nothing.
Can you imagine going through a whole season, and then right the week before harvest, she all burns down.
Oh,
not fun. So, they say, this is because he has taken his wife and given her to his companion. So the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. I mean, these dudes are...
They said they would do that if she didn't release, they'd get the information from Samson about
the riddle. Right.
And
right.
All of a sudden, though, this is how diabolical and evil these men are.
These guys are bad dudes.
They are.
So Samson said to them, since you would do a thing like this, I will surely take revenge on you, and after that I will cease. Oh, man. Not really, but anyway, so he attacked them hip and thigh with a great slaughter.
Mm.
Then he went down and dwelt in the cleft of the rock of Etam. Now, we were talking about this, Pete. It went to attack them hip and thigh. It's almost like he doesn't want to hit him in the head and kill him instantly. He wants to hit him in mid-body.
Right.
And show him just how much power in the anointing he has and how much he's able to take them on. One man now, remember.
Right.
Taking on this multitude.
Right. Not head blows.
Right.
Which we see in Hollywood. You know, it's always the headshot.
Yeah.
But
kick,
this guy's
kick him in the face.
Crippling. Taking away their movement and their ability to move forward. That's just such a... It's almost like some kind of a... what do you call that? Some kind of speech. Like...
A metaphor?
Maybe more like a metaphor. Hip and thigh.
But yeah, but he does wind up killing him. It says a great slaughter.
He does say a great slaughter.
So the Philistines don't like this too much. So, so the Philistines went up and camped in Judah and deployed themselves against Lehi. Now here's the part.
Yeah.
When God is mightily using one man or one woman and the rest of the people don't understand.
Wow.
Boy, this is a powerful part of Scripture to learn that.
Wow.
And what happens? I mean, it's kind of sad, really, to read this.
It is.
In the book of Judges, because the Philistines went up, camped in Judah, deployed themselves against Lehi. Then the men of Judah said, "Why have you come up against us?" He said, "We have come to arrest Samson, to do to him what he has done to us."
Mm-hmm.
And what they should have done is said, "Well, good luck with that. You know, he's Samson. You're not going to bust him."
No, he's already got a rage on him.
Right.
Yeah.
Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock at Etam and said to Samson, "Do you not know that the Philistines rule over us?"
Yeah. What does that look like?
I think Samson knew that, you know?
Yeah, I think that he did know
this
that.
This is the whole reason for his life,
yeah,
is to be a guy who goes and attacks the Philistines and reduces them down so that they don't have the dominion over Judah.
Mm.
But the Judahite people, Israelite people, mm-hmm, can't see that.
Right. How often does that happen?
Oh, man, the lessons in that. When you're under the dominion of the tyranny.
Wow. Yeah.
It changes the way your mind works.
It does.
It changes the way you perceive reality. Here's their own guy standing in front of them there, and they can't see that God's raised him up to be the deliverer and set them free and take them out of the bondage and the tyranny of the Philistines.
It's not accepting the victory that normally what we would see throughout Scripture in any battle, that the people rejoiced over the victory. There's
but
no
you
victory.
Remember even back with Gideon. Gideon's going through with the guys. He's chasing the kings. Remember those two
those
cities?
Those guys.
He says, "Hey, give us some water. Give us some food." Say, "Oh, do you have the heads of the king in your hand? We aren't giving you anything."
Right.
Gideon says, "Okay.
All right.
We'll see what happens when I come back."
Yeah.
And you know the story. So the point is, really, from both this passage and that one of Gideon, is really there's a prophetic component to these guys that are raised up by God and gals. I mean, it's almost like their actions are prophesying what's coming.
Right. That was my thought, too.
Yeah, like with Samson and Gideon, both.
Right.
I mean, you do it. Why do all these things? Why catch 300 foxes? Well, he's mad because he got, you know, didn't get his wife. Well, yeah, but it's more than that. It's the Lord is seeking an occasion against the Philistines.
Right. And this isn't an outright retribution, heat of the moment kind of thing that's taking place here. There's a time element to capturing.
It takes them a while.
Yeah, it takes you a while.
300 foxes.
Yeah, it takes some time. You know, you got to get them corralled. You got to get them to a place. However, he did it right. I'm
How
sure.
How many chickens does that take to catch?
Chickens does it take to catch a fox?
300 foxes.
Oh my gosh!
No, really.
Yeah, but I think that it's sad, and I think really in as far as that our nation is concerned. I think that you can transcribe this verse. Don't you know that the Philistines rule over us?
I know.
Don't you know that Washington, that the political movement,
man,
that is at hand right now, don't you know that they rule over us?
Don't you know that abortion is now the law of the land from the Supreme Court?
Oh, my word.
Don't you know Molech is ruling over us? Yeah, we know.
Ooh.
We know that.
And not being able to see that. Not seeing that.
Man.
And a reverse, right? Doc, we could get down a political trail here, but it's the whole idea is that the former establishment said no more money to foreign nations
for abortion, right.
And then the new leadership comes in, and the first thing that they do is reinstate that. Why? Ask yourselves, why is the blood of the innocent required over an establishment?
I know.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to back down.
Right. Yeah, we're getting wound up like Samson.
We are.
Oh, my word.
Oh.
So they say, "Do you not know the Philistines rule over us?" It's kind of, that's why I'm here, guys.
That's exactly
But anyway, what is this you have done to us? Well, when you start resisting tyranny, you get another T word.
That's
remember
right.
from last time?
Right.
It's called trouble. And he said to them, as they did to me, so I have done to them. But they said to him, we have come down to arrest you, that we may deliver you into the hand of the Philistines. Now, all right, so Samson says to them, swear to me that you will not kill me yourselves. So they spoke to him, saying, no, but we will tie you securely and deliver you into their hands, but we will surely not kill you.
Your word is your bond here.
There you go.
It's happening.
And they did keep their word. So they brought bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. That's surely going to hold him in captivity, right? Two new ropes.
Well, do they know something there? Like, why do you bring two new ropes? Why is that highlighted here? Mm-hmm. The strength of a new rope
yeah.
versus...
Which has never had its... Never been stretched
its
out.
Its tension?
Yeah.
Compromised. Yeah.
When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey and reached out his hand and took it and killed 1,000 men with it. Wow. So just when you think the misunderstanding of God's people is going to defeat the whole thing. I mean, if you're just reading this story with a natural mind, you say, well, these are his brothers, his fellow countrymen.
Why wouldn't he
they
listen to them?
They come and take them and hand them over tied up, bound up in ropes, over to the enemy. I mean, it's over, dude.
Yeah.
Unless
right.
the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him mightily.
And think about the timing of the Lord in this, right in the right here, right now, in that the provision that the Lord brings unknowingly to everyone else, that this jawbone
right.
lies right basically at the feet of Samson.
Man. I mean, you think of what it takes to kill 1,000 men with a jawbone. This is not an M16.
No.
This is not a sword.
No.
This is a donkey's jawbone.
Man alive. We should get one. We should get one. Hang it up on the wall here, Doc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let all the demons see it.
Oh.
All right. Samson then said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men. And so it was when he had finished speaking that he threw the jawbone from his hand and called that place Ramoth Lehi.
The new subdivision.
Yeah, Jawbone Heights.
Jawbone Heights. Right. It was Jawbone Heights. That's what Ramoth Lehi. Oh,
man. Then he became very thirsty, so he cried out to the Lord and said, you have given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant, and now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? And essentially the Lord said, no. So God split the hollow place that is in Lehi, and water came out, and he drank. And his spirit returned, and he revived. Therefore he called its name En Hakkori, which is in Lehi to this day. And he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines.
Yeah.
Now, here's where we are with this, you guys. What can one man or one woman do? Well, here's the answer. They can do exactly what God has called them to do. And really, with Samson, what God called him to do was to disrupt the Philistines and throw them off their game so that God's people could be released from the tyranny.
Right.
That's the big plan. The means of getting that done is these anointings of the Spirit of the Lord that come upon Samuel that make him, Samson, that make him so strong.
Right.
And that's what you and I have to trust in. in the Lord is that there is a bigger plan behind your life in your family. God didn't just have you here as an accident.
Right.
Right? He's got something in mind.
He's always forward thinking.
And God doesn't, with his omnipotence and with his sovereignty and all this stuff, he just doesn't force his will into every situation and we just stand and watch.
Right.
Samson had to pick up the jawbone and start swinging it.
Yeah, he did.
But when he did, in the anointing, the particular anointing that God had for him, what can one man do? Put the whole Philistine people to flight, for at least for that time.
Right. And maybe you've experienced victory in your own walk with the Lord, and now you're thinking that the Lord has just used you up.
Ooh.
And this is kind of where Samson's head is. Like,
he was.
Oh my.
Yeah, I mean, he's all thirsty
oh,
and
my
tired.
Word. Yeah. So, but the Lord, we know this because, you know, we have the accounts before us. We have how the Lord has led the people of Israel up and out of tight, terrible situations. He has delivered them every time. And for you, listener, to realize that God hasn't brought you this far so that he can kick your butt on the beach.
That's right.
He doesn't do that. He's there to bring rescue and to revive you. Do you see that? And he revived. The Spirit returned and he revived.
That's right.
I like that.
That's a good word.
Good water.
And then also, when the people of God around you do not understand, they even resist you.
Yes.
Is what was happening with Samson.
Yes.
Here. Actively resist, tying him up with ropes. That happens too in a measure of speaking.
Absolutely. But don't grow weary in that.
That's right. Well, if you can't do this,
and
you can't do that.
If you're walking with him, right, which he knew.
Fellowship and communion with the Lord.
Ooh, there it is.
Yeah.
Being in the presence.
Yep.
Drinking the water, right? The living water.
So it becomes way more important to you what he says.
Yes.
Than what anybody, even if they're fellow believers that are well-meaning. These people were well-meaning. Hey, if we rise up against these Philistines, I mean, they're just going to come down on us worse. And here you got a guy with an anointing and a purpose of God to make that exactly that happen.
Right.
Man.
Right.
How many times does that happen in the body of Christ? Where the Lord has just put a woman, has just put a man, it's got what is needed for that hour and for that day. And the church just goes, well, we're not really interested in that.
Wow, Doc. Come on.
Man.
Holy cats. That's something. Right?
It is. But what we're going to study here when we get through with the book of Judges, we are going to study men and women who that didn't happen to. Because the ones that it did happen to, we really don't know their names because he don't write much about that.
Right.
But praise God, there were those who rose into their place, stood in their anointing, and God brought great revival, great deliverance, and all those things down through church history.
Right.
Right.
So maybe we should pray for our listeners this morning.
Yeah, why don't you do that, Pete?
Father, we ask, Lord, that you continue to reveal yourself, Lord, to your servants, Lord. Lord, and some of these men and women listening, Lord, are being called to extraordinary things that can only be done under the power and the anointing of the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, you have not drawn short on your people today. These aren't stories of what used to be, but they are the future, Lord, of generations to come. Men and women that will raise their children in such a way that they will be brought up to bend their will into what the Father is calling them to do so that they may drink the living water after victory. Lord, thank you so much, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would bless the men and women listening right now, Lord, that you would pour your favor out upon them. Lord, that they would see that favor. Lord, that they would know their place. Lord, that they would identify with who they are by who you say they are,
yes,
and not
Lord.
What other men would have to say about them. We pray this in your mighty name, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Hey, and everybody, remember, we're still giving out our free books. Ooh. If you want a book, Do You Want Revival?
Mm-hmm.
It'll inspire you with this message written by Pastor Eric Hansen, a great friend of this ministry. And it'll be a great blessing to you. We'd love to just send it to you free. Just send us your info at toinfo@heartofthefather.net.
That's right, Doc.
Or you can Facebook message us, or you can
call us here.
Call.
We take phone calls here.
What's the number here, Pete?
It's 320-566-1144. You can leave us a message if we're not in the office, but we'd love to hear from you. And also, you know, if you get some time and you want to tell us about how this program is helping you walk side by side with the Lord, go ahead and do so. We'd love to hear from you.
That would be great.
Well, that would be wonderful. Yeah. We've had some testimony, Doc.
Yeah.
There are things that are changing right now in the name of the Lord.
Amen. Well, God bless you. We'll see you next time.